everyone, welcome back to our Sano Animal podcast. Today we're tackling a topic that pretty much every horse owner has to deal with at some point, and if you haven't yet, trust me, your time will come. We're talking about colds and respiratory infections in horses. You know, it's that time of year again when you walk into the barn and hear that symphony of coughing echoing down the aisle. Usually it starts with one horse, and before you know it, half the barn seems to be sniffling and hacking. Sounds familiar? Yeah, thought so. We all know that. The thing is, just like us humans, horses are susceptible to catching colds, especially during those wet, cold months when the weather can't seem to make up its mind. One day it's sunny, the next it's pouring rain, then there's that icy wind that cuts right through you. Our horses are dealing with all of that too, and their immune systems can take a hit just like ours do. So when all your work colleagues start calling in sick because they've caught a cold, that's the same time when it hits our horses as well. So today I want to talk you through how to really support your horse when they're dealing with a respiratory infection. We're going to talk about everything from recognizing what's actually going on to supporting their recovery in the most natural and effective way possible. And I'll let you know on a little secret, sometimes the old-fashioned supportive care approach works better than immediately reaching for the heavy-duty medications. Not always, mind you, but more often than you might think. So now let's start with something that seems obvious but actually trips up a lot of people: figuring out what you're actually dealing with. Because here's the thing, not all coughing is created equal. If your horse starts coughing, your first question shouldn't be, what can I give him? It should be, is this a cold or is this something else? Chronic cough and acute infection-related cough are two completely different beasts. Chronic cough might be related to allergies, to chronic inflammation and thus sensitivities, or underlying respiratory conditions that have been brewing for a while. That's a horse who's been coughing on and off for weeks or months, usually worse when your hay is rather dusty or when certain allergens like pollen are in the air. An acute cold, on the other hand, comes on relatively suddenly. Maybe your horse was fine yesterday, but today they're definitely not. Just think of yourself. When you catch a cold, yesterday you were fine, maybe feeling a little scratch in your throat, and today you're in bed with a fever and you can't go to work. So it's really sudden onset, and that's the same with the horses. Yesterday you could ride your horse and today he's definitely not fine. So what are we looking for with a cold when it comes to symptoms? Well, coughing is the obvious one, but pay attention to the whole picture. Is your horse more tired than usual? Are they standing around looking a bit depressed when normally they'd be at the fence demanding breakfast or something? That's a clue. Check the temperature, and I mean actually check it with a thermometer, not just feeling their ears or their forehead or something. A normal horse temperature is around 37 to 38 degrees Celsius, which is about 99 to 101 degrees Fahrenheit, I believe. I grew up in the Celsius system, so I'm not quite sure about the Fahrenheit. So 37 to 38 degrees Celsius, it's normal for horses, and if it's creeping up over that, we're talking about fever. And then when it's hitting 40.5 Celsius, which is, I guess, 105 Fahrenheit or above, something's definitely going very wrong and you need to act immediately, because those temperatures start to become life-threatening. As long as it's below that, we're talking about fever, and this is going along with an infection. That's just normal. So the body cranks up its heat so the immune system can respond quicker to the infection the horse is having. Look at your horse's eyes too. Are they a bit dull or watery? Is there any nasal discharge? With a fresh cold, that discharge is most often clear and watery at first. That is a sign for viral airway infection, like influenza virus, rhinovirus, riovirus, and all the other viruses. They usually come as a cocktail and not just some single infection with just one type. If the discharge is watery, then we're talking viral infection. But if the discharge is thick and yellow or greenish, that usually indicates bacterial infection like streptococcus. Streptococcus is one of the most common airway infections from the bacterial world, and they are the ones producing this vanilla sauce type of nasal discharge. Bacterial infections often come as a secondary infection once the immune system in the airways is kept busy with the virus infection. So then that's a point where the bacteria start moving in, and that's something you definitely want to start treating, because they start to clog up the airways. So then you have to act. Behavior changes are a huge indicator too. Some horses go completely off their feet when they're not feeling well. Others might eat, but without their normal enthusiasm. Maybe they're not interested in socializing with their buddies like they normally would. It depends on the horse. You know your horse better than anyone else, so trust your instincts. When something seems off, then it probably is. Now, once you've identified that, yes, this does seem to be a cold, the question becomes, how do we help our horse to get through this? And the foundation of everything, and I cannot stress this enough, is supporting the immune system. Here's something that might surprise you. The best thing you can do for your horse's immune system isn't found in a bottle of supplements. It's actually about their overall health status, and particularly their gut health. I know, we're talking about respiratory infections. It's the other end of the horse. So what does the gut have to do with it? Well, it turns out when you take a closer look at it, pretty much everything. A huge portion of the immune system, between 70 and 80% of the immune system, is actually located in the digestive tract of the horse. So a horse with a healthy, well-functioning gut is going to be so much better equipped to fight off infections than a horse whose digestive system is compromised. If you have dysbiosis in the hind gut, if the gut is not working properly, all the immune system is rushing to support the gut system to keep this all stable. And then this immune system is lacking in other parts of the body. So one of them is the airways. Make sure that your horse has a healthy gut system. But what creates gut health? Basically, species appropriate nutrition. We're talking plenty of good quality hay, minimal processed feeds, if at all, not overloading them with sugars and starches, not feeding haylage, beet pulp, or other feeds that trigger hindgut dysbiosis, just basic natural nutrition done well. And that's it. And then you have a healthy hindgut, and a horse with a happy gut has a healthy immune system. Stress is another massive factor that people often overlook. Stress leads to cortisol release in the body, and high cortisol levels suppress the immune system. This means a stressed horse is an immune compromised horse. So if your horse is dealing with a cold, this is not the time to add extra pressure. If you've got a competition coming up, postpone it. If they're dealing with a difficult social situation in their herd, maybe separate them temporarily or adjust the dynamics. If training has been intense lately, back off. Their body needs all its resources focused on healing, not on dealing with additional stressors. And speaking of what they need, let's talk about rest and fresh air. This is where a lot of well-meaning horse owners actually get it wrong. When a horse starts coughing, there's often this instinct to bring them in, close everything up, keep them warm and sheltered. And yeah, I get it. When we're sick, we want to be cozy in our bed, right? But here's the thing. Horses are not built like us. They are not basically cavemen like us. Their respiratory systems actually function much better with access to fresh, moving air. Keeping a sick horse in a closed up, stuffy barn, especially if there's dust from hay or bedding or ammonia fumes from urine, that's actually making things much worse, not better. What they really need is a shelter from wind and rain, yes, but with excellent ventilation. If you have the option of a run-in shelter or a ventilated barn with the doors open, that's ideal. Fresh air helps keep the airways clear and also reduces the concentration of any viral or bacterial particles in the environment. It sounds counterintuitive at first, especially on a very cold day, but trust me on this one. A good blanket if needed and fresh air, that's a winning combination. Turn your horses out, give them a shelter, give them a wind protection, but don't put them into the stable and close all doors and windows. Now, what about exercise? Should you be riding your sick horse? The answer is it depends, but probably not the way you have been riding them. Anything strenuous is absolutely off the table. We're not jumping, we're not galloping, we're not doing collected work or anything that's going to make them breathe hard. Their respiratory system is already under stress. They need all their energy to fight the infection. We do not need to compound that. But complete stall rest isn't necessarily the answer either, especially if they're eating and drinking normally and don't have a significant fever. Gentle walking, and I mean really gentle, just normal walking around the property or cross country, can actually be beneficial. It doesn't matter whether you ride or walk yourself and take your horse on a lead, just walk them. It keeps things moving, prevents stiffness, gives them something to do mentally, and gentle movement can help with drainage from the airways. The keyword here is gentle. If your horse seems reluctant, if they're coughing more when moving, if they seem exhausted after just a few minutes, then they're telling you it's too much. Listen to your horse. So we've got the basics covered. Rest, fresh air, easy movement. Now let's talk about one of my favorite supportive treatments, herbal support. And before anyone rolls their eyes thinking I'm going all woo-woo here, let me tell you, herbs have been used for respiratory support for literally thousands of years, not just by humans, but also by feral horses. And there's actually good science behind a lot of it to back up our traditional use of herbs. So when you're dealing with a wet productive cough, meaning your horse is coughing up mucus, what you want in this moment are expectorants. These are herbs that help loosen the mucus and make it easier to cough up and out. Things like thyme or sage or any seed can be really helpful here. One of the simplest and most effective things you can do is make a warm herbal tea and add it to their feet. You literally just steep the herbs in hot water like you're making yourself a cup of tea. Let it cool enough that it won't burn them and mix it into their feet, for example, in some soaked hay pellets, or you can use a mash for that. A spoonful of honey added to this not only makes it more palatable, because let's be honest, some horses can be picky, and some of the herbs can be really strong in their taste. But honey itself has anti-inflammatory and antimicrobial properties. Just make sure it's cooled down before you add the honey, because heat destroys some of the honey's beneficial properties. And here's something that's really important that I want to make sure everyone understands, because I see this mistake made way too often. If you're using herbs or supplements to help loosen mucus, you absolutely cannot combine them with bronchodilators. Those are medications that open up the airways and suppress the cough reflex. You don't want to combine the two. Think about it logically. If you're loosening all this mucus, it needs to come out, right? The horse needs to be able to cough it up. If you give them something that suppresses their urge to cough, all that loosened mucus will just follow gravity and slide down into the lower airways, creating a perfect long-term breeding ground for bacteria. You can actually turn a simple cold into a much more serious chronic COPD or even pneumonia by making this mistake. So if your vet has prescribed bronchodilators, sometimes they're necessary, especially if a horse is really struggling to breathe, you need to have a conversation about whether expectorants should be used at the same time. Usually they shouldn't be. It's one or the other, depending on what stage of illness your horse is in and what they need most. Throughout all of this, monitoring is absolutely crucial. I recommend taking your horse's temperature twice a day when they're sick, morning and evening. Keep a log. Write down their temperature, how they're acting, whether they're eating and drinking normally, how often they're coughing, what the discharge from their nose looks like, everything around it. This information really is gold, both for you to track whether they're improving or getting worse, and for your vet if you need to consult them. Generally speaking, mild fever, we're talking up to about 39 degrees Celsius or 102 Fahrenheit for a day or two with a viral cold isn't necessarily cause for panic. That's just a normal course for viral infection. But if the fever goes higher than that, or if it persists for more than a couple of days, or if it goes away and then comes back, those are all signs that you need your vet. Same thing if your horse stops eating, becomes very lethargic, or if that nasal discharge turns really thick and colored in 50 shades of green, don't mess around with that stuff. Call your vet. Another point I want to talk to you about is inhalation therapy, because this is something that can be incredibly helpful, but it's often underutilized in the horse stable. I'm not talking about anything fancy or expensive, just simple steam inhalation with saline solution. You can do this with a nebulizer if you have access to one, or even more simply by just creating a steamy environment. And there's what I like to call the poor man's inhaler. You take one of these large tub-like feed buckets you find in pretty much every stable. Fill it with boiling water from your kettle, so it's maybe 5 to 10 centimeters high of really hot water down in the bucket. Then take a pasta strainer and put it upside down into the hot water. This just to prevent your horse from sticking its nose into the hot water. And then you fill the bucket with hay. And while your horse munches its hay, it will inhale the steam rising from the hot water. And this warm, moist air helps hydrate the airways and loosen all the phlegm, all the mucus, making them easier to cover up. If you're using a nebulizer with saline solution, you're getting even more benefit because the fine mist can penetrate very deep into the airways. That's great if you have a very, very strong mucus production to just loosen it up and get it to flow out of the horse's nose. This isn't about medicating. It's literally just salt water that helps to moisturize and cleanse the respiratory tract. It's gentle, it's safe, and it can provide a lot of relief for horses. So this is something I always recommend for horses that have a common cold. Now, as your horse starts to recover, and you'll know this is happening when they're brighter, the fever is gone, they're eating normally, and the cough is becoming less frequent, no nasal discharge anymore. There's actually a shift in how you want to support them. This is something that surprises a lot of people. During the acute wet cough phase, with a lot of yellow stuff coming out of the nose, we wanted expectorants to help clear things out. But once that mucus is mostly cleared and the airways are recovering, you actually want to switch to herbs that support mucus production. What? Wait? Yes, you heard me right. The respiratory tract has a natural protective layer of mucus that traps particles and pathogens before they can cause problems. When a horse has been coughing a lot, this protective barrier can be damaged. So herbs that support healthy mucus production, things like marshmallow root, plantain, or Iceland moss, they can now help restore that natural defense system. It's not the same like the thick mucus that came out of your horse's airways during this bacterial infection, but this is just the natural, very thin protective mucus layer you want to have. And you can support this with a couple of herbs. So you see from a therapeutic point of view, it's all about timing and understanding what your horse needs at each stage of recovery. This is where working with someone knowledgeable about herbal medicine for horses can be really valuable, because these nuances really matter. And that brings me to probably the most important point I want to make today: know when to call the vet. I'm a big fan of supportive natural care. I think there's a lot we can do to help our horses through minor illnesses without immediately reaching for antibiotics or other medications. I think most horse owners call the vet too soon when it's just a small common cold. But there are absolutely times when veterinary intervention is necessary, and recognizing those times is crucial. If your horse has a high fever, if they're struggling to breathe, if they're not eating or drinking, if they seem to be getting worse instead of better after a couple of days of supportive care, call your vet. Don't wait. Don't hope it'll turn around on its own. Respiratory infections can go south quickly, especially in very young or very old horses, or in horses with compromised immune systems. Pneumonia is serious business and it requires professional medical treatment. There's no herb or home remedy that's going to fix a severe bacterial pneumonia. Your vet can also help you figure out if what you're dealing with is actually a simple cold or something more serious like equine herpes virus or strangles or something. We have some infections that are not so easy. These different conditions require different management approaches, and some of them may have serious biosecurity implications as well for the rest of your barn. A good vet isn't going to judge you for trying supportive care first for a mild cold. In fact, many vets appreciate horse owners who understand that not every sniffle requires antibiotics, but they also want to be looped in if things aren't progressing normally, and they can provide valuable guidance on when to step up treatment. Here's the bottom line that I want everyone to take away from this. Treating colds in horses requires patience. It requires attention to detail. It requires you to really observe your horse and respond to what they're telling you they need. The approach that works isn't about finding one magic bullet and fixing the cuff within a day or two. It's about supporting their body's natural healing process with rest, good nutrition, fresh air, gentle movement, and targeted herbal support when appropriate. Remember, going through a big fat cold takes weeks to recover, not days. In horses, just the same like in humans. In my experience, this kind of thoughtful supportive care is often more effective in the long run than immediately reaching for heavy duty medications. Not always. Sometimes you need those medications and there's no shame in that, but more often than you might think, giving the horse's immune system the support it needs to do its job results in a more complete recovery and a stronger immune system going forward. Every cold that passes through your barn is also a learning opportunity. Pay attention to which horses get sick and which ones don't. What are the healthier horses doing differently? Are they getting a different forage? Do they experience less stress? Do they get more turnout? These patterns can teach you a lot about how to manage your whole group of horses to reduce illness in the future. And remember, prevention is always easier than management. Good ventilation in your barn year-round, appropriate nutrition, minimal stress, adequate turnout, good biosecurity practices when bringing new horses in, all of these things reduce the likelihood of illness in the first place. But when illness does strike, because it will eventually, you now have a roadmap for how to support your horse through it. Trust your observations, trust your instincts, support the immune system, and don't hesitate to bring in professional help when needed. Thanks so much for listening today. I hope this gives you some practical tools to help your horse next time that cold wave rolls through your barn. Stay warm out there and give your horse an extra pet from me. Until next time.